Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of January 6th, 2019. Notice I said 19, and didn't say 2018. It's 2019, guys. today we're happy to be joined by our frequent guest and co-host, the prolific commentator, the educator, and author, Ms. Mariah Tinker. How you doing, Mariah?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well. Very well. So here we are at the beginning of 2019. Tomorrow is the day on which, just this past week actually, is the Congress has returned to Democratic control. The U.S. House of Representatives is back in Democratic control. The Green New Deal that we have spoken about at some length over the last few episodes is on the agenda, right? And part of the agenda of the Green New Deal, Mariah, correct me if I'm wrong, is to have a committee that would be charged to formulate some of the precepts of the Green New Deal. Is that how it worked out ultimately? Or is that, what do we know about the committee of the Green New Deal?
Yeah, I mean, that's aligns with my understanding that there's folks that are, you know, and I think that there are folks that are aligning to work on this. And there's also some component, which we've talked about, I think, in the past, where they have to absolve themselves of any possible fossil fuel.
You know, I think that
relationship.
What I've seen most recently is that, in fact, they're not going to make that a requirement. And the committee is not going to have a mandate to produce legislation. So at some level, the committee, at least it appears in the beginning of the Congress, has been somewhat neutered over the more aggressive committee that the Sunrise Movement wanted. So that's a bit of a downer and of course, all of the discussion has been that it's a turf war inside the Democratic Party because the old white guys who have the committees, run the committees, don't want to give up their authority to the Green New Deal committee, and so we will see how that works out. But one of the more interesting questions of the Green New Deal is this idea that the idea is that the committee or the Democrats will take the next 2 years to put together an aggressive program to address climate change at the scale and scope that's needed. That is to say, large investments in renewable energy, a real effort to make the transition just, to sink lots of money into the green economy. And I guess a corollary of that, if you say you're going to spend a lot of money, is that people want to know where the money's coming from. Historically, and myself included, have been talking about a carbon tax as the mechanism by which you could raise a lot of money reasonably quickly and do good things at the same time. But interestingly enough, and this is a interesting discussion, is that within the scope of the Green New Deal, which, as I say, is somewhat unformed, right, is still being defined what the Green New Deal really means, but the idea of having a carbon tax is not the first order of business. And Mariah, did you see anything like that? I mean, whether or not, I guess the question comes is, is a carbon tax part of a just and fair energy transition, and is it something we want to try and include in a Green New Deal?
Yeah, I go back and forth on that for sure. I think that it's certainly needs to be one of the tools that we use is having a price on carbon. But I was reading an interesting article by Justin Gillis, and he sort of made the point that it's politically charged, a carbon tax, right? Which we know because, of course, just the word itself, tax,
right.
is politically
Makes
charged.
Makes people hair stand on end.
Exactly. And you can adjust that by calling it a, you know, carbon fee and dividend. If you use the word fee, that sometimes can soften that. But no matter how you sort of slice it, it's definitely going to be politically charged. Mm-hmm. But the other points he made were that there are more key areas where we should be putting our I guess, sort of concerned citizen efforts. One of them would be efficiency regulations on cars and trucks, which are currently under attack by the Trump administration, that we should be pushing legislators to stop the rollback because automobile emissions are a big part of, you know, greenhouse gases. So, you know, if we have cars that are being manufactured to make that choice for us, you drive them just as you normally would, but they emit less. You don't, you know, that's just, it's an efficiency thing. It's an innovation thing.
And it avoids the bloodbath over tax.
Exactly. Right. And of course, when you say bloodbath over tax, it calls to mind what happened in with the Mayon. I never remember the word for vest in French, but the yellow vest in French. So, you know, you there, if you do the other problem with the tax is it can inadvertently hit people who can't afford it. And that's, you don't want to do that. And not to say that's what the Green New Deal has any inclination of doing, right? As you mentioned, it's really trying to approach this in a way that embraces environmental justice and puts that forward. But that can be a problem of a carbon tax.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it has been a fault of a carbon tax and for a long a reason for people to reject the carbon tax in the past.
Right. And there's ways that have been talked about, of course, where you can sort of shape the carbon tax so that people get back more money, obviously, if they're using less. You know, there's ways to sort of return some of the savings that you get from some of the revenue that's generated from the carbon tax back to the people. But, you know, still, it's charged.
If you're giving the revenue back to the people, you can't spend it on investments, right? So, in a way, the Green New Deal needs money to pay for big investments, and you can't do that if you're a revenue-neutral carbon tax.
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
And then, you know, the other point that that Justin Gillis brings up in this article is that poorly constructed buildings are big, you know, they just gobble up energy and waste energy. And so if you put a carbon price, it's not necessarily going to help solve that, because a lot of the folks who put up the buildings have an economic motive to skimp on some of the things that make buildings more efficient, and because they're not the ones who pay the energy bills. So instead, having building codes that have really strict energy requirements that are enforced vigorously is a much better but that's something else we should be sort of lobbying for. And
so I think his argument is that we should, our political capital, in quotation marks, the effort and all that should be put into regulation and not, well, into these topics that he's talking about and not into a glorious defeat of a carbon tax, right? Is to put your effort where you might actually get something good to happen, right?
Right, right. And I think he also is just saying this is not the political climate to push a carbon tax. Instead, let's push back on some of these things which fit in a little bit more comfortably with the current political climate. So, and he's saying, you know, price on carbon is necessary. It's a tool in the toolbox that we do need. But maybe we should do some other things that are available to us first.
I think some of that was echoed in an article by Paul Krugman in the New York Times, basically saying that the carbon tax idea is just so politically charged that it's not worth the effort right now, and that the Green New Deal advocates, I guess I count myself among them, should say, to take a lesson from Obamacare, where the public option and Medicare for All was basically sacrificed for a rather watered down medical system, but it got through. And now here we are 10 years later with the ability to talk about Medicare for All, because people have come to accept the underlying principles, and that's how you make progress. Now, whether or not, I don't think Krugman says we do some piecemeal thing now, and in 10 years we get a carbon tax, because that's too late, right? We only got 11 years left to do all of our good work. But his point is well made, that we should, within the Green New Deal, get what we can. And excuse me, the idea being that that maybe, so the carbon tax within the constraint of the Green New Deal is an interesting topic that reasonable people can discuss. I'm sure people can feel strongly both ways. It's an interesting topic. But it does connect to a slightly different question that we've got in front of us. And that's this idea of how to pay for the investments in a Green New Deal, right? So it's going to take money. And over this past few days, there's been this concept in the U.S. Congress called PAYGO, P-A-Y-G-O, which is, I don't know if it's an acronym or a nickname, but it's basically the concept that for every increase in spending, every dollar increase in spending that a Congress does, it will cut spending somewhere else. And that's part of an agreement that was struck, I think, during the Obama years between the Democrats and the Republicans to try to get out of these previous crazy shutdown things that we went through, right? That when we were back in the day when we worried about deficits on the conservative side of the aisle. So this PAYGO thing, which Nancy Pelosi is thinking of adopting. The problem with PAYGO is that it severely limits your ability to spend big money on green energy and a Green New Deal. Right? If you want to go out and spend $1 trillion, $100 billion a year for 10 years on clean energy, and then you're expected to go find $100 billion somewhere else in the budget to cut out, that really is a constraint. And what's going to happen in the beginning of the first of the Democratic Congress is that they will agree to a set of rules by which all bills will be judged according to this PAYGO criteria. And I think that's a bad idea. Again, it's another institutional choke on the Green New Deal.
I don't know as much about that PAYGO as I would like to. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I might push back on a little bit is a lot of the clean energy proposals actually save a lot of money, right? Remember when we talked to Mark Pacheco and his proposal, I forget the exact numbers, but the proposal he was putting in front mm-hmm. of the Massachusetts regulating bodies was going to save us a lot of money, right? From the calculations that a third party did. And so some of me wonders, is it possible that the Green New Deal may actually create enough jobs and create enough sort of capital that on its own, just that maybe we would be able to pay for it? Not, of course, in full, but, and this is sort of a half-hearted comment because I don't have I haven't really looked into this thoroughly, but it's just speculation.
Well, it seems like you could, since the rules are plastic, shall we say, you could justify payments if you make an estimate that the return on your investment is going to be large. And I think that's the kind of argument you're making, is that if we invest in green energy, the payoff will be large, and then that satisfies this crazy PAYGO rule in the Congress.
I don't know.
Well, I think that I urge everyone listening as we go forward, the Green New Deal is an important initiative in this next Congress. It needs to be nurtured. You need to contact your representative or senator and tell them that this is an important item to you. As I say, the Green New Deal is a slogan right now. It needs to be formulated. We need to put meat on the bones, and the meat that has to be put on those bones are solutions that are capable of addressing the question. So it'll be something we watch, huh? We'll put it down there. We'll put up links to, let's see, we got the Gillis article, we got the Krugman article, we got a few other things we'll put up that have to do with the topics we just discussed at the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find it on Facebook at @massclimateaction. You can listen to us on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, etc., etc. And we close where we always close, although apparently I'm talking myself out of my own closing now. So I'm going to say it anyway because it's a force of habit at this point. We'll close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon, or at least address the carbon problem at the scope and scale that's necessary. How's that for a way out, a logical escape? Anyway, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.